I haven't had five husbands. I'm sure that would be true for most of you here. And the man I'm living with is my husband. But there are many other things that come in the way. And Jesus is here to meet with us today. The message he has laid on my heart is, the thorn in my flesh, he knows. From the time they are appointed to the bench, Superior Court judges in Canada are expected to be knowledgeable jurists. They're expected to demonstrate a number of personal attributes, including knowledge of social issues, an awareness of social values, fairness, empathy, tolerance, consideration, and respect for others. Justice Robin Camp failed to meet these high standards and acted in a manner that seriously undermined public confidence in the judiciary. On the 8th of March 2017, the Canadian Judicial Council removed Justice Camp from office. The committee found that throughout the trial in question, the judge made comments and asked questions that failed to protect vulnerable witnesses and to maintain impartiality and integrity. The judge relied on discredited myths and stereotypes about women. During a rape trial in 2014, the judge asked a sexual assault complainant why she could not keep her knees together. The judge spoke to the complainant in a manner that was condescending, disrespectful, and humiliating. The complainant said that his comments made her contemplate suicide. I'd like to draw a comparison between Justice Camp and our very own High Priest Jesus from today's passage. Jesus demonstrates a knowledge and understanding of social issues and meets out a verdict that sets the woman free. In verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus moves and works beyond societal stereotypes. This woman was a Samaritan, a member of the hated mixed race. She was known to be living in sin and was in a public place. No respectable Jewish man would have spoken to a woman under such circumstances. But Jesus did. Whatever our backgrounds, whatever our life situations, whatever the thorn in your flesh and mine, he knows. And as we continue to meditate on his word and strive to draw closer to him this Lenten season, let us approach him with confidence, for he knows and is not about to ignore the thorn in our flesh. Let's turn back to John chapter 4. Jesus was in Samaria. This is unusual. Samaria is between Galilee in the north and Judea in the south. Most Jews who traveled between Galilee and Judea would much rather make the effort to cross the Jordan twice to avoid traveling through Samaria. That's how much they despised the Samaritans. Reading from verse 5. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour, which is noon, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. I'd like to focus on four key points from today's message about Jesus and the woman at the well. The first is this: Jesus sets up encounters with individuals. I wonder if I could take you back to your courting days and get you to think about who the organizer is in your relationship. Maybe even the one who continues to organize date night in the here and now. happens not too often for some. I remember the days that Jonas and I were dating. Worth mentioning here that I am the organizer in our relationship. So I struggled to hold back from setting up our dates. So it was very special when Jonas called me up at work one Thursday, asked what my plans were for the evening, and proceeded to ask me out to dinner. It was the 3rd of August 2006. I remember the date oh so well, because that was the first time Jonas spoke to my parents and told them about our relationship. Note how Jesus orchestrates circumstances here to set up this encounter with this Samaritan woman by the well. He intentionally sent the disciples on to town. If the disciples had been there, this private conversation could not have taken place. In the same way, Jesus sets up encounters with us, even today. Remember the time you were stranded at the airport and your flight got delayed? Or that time on holiday when you found yourself surrounded by the beauty of nature? Open countryside, birds chirping, or the awesomeness of Niagara Falls, or even the tranquility of the long walk at Windsor. Jesus seeks us out. Do you and I seek him out? Whether in the mundane moments of everyday life or the special moments he blesses us with. A point to remember: Jesus always goes ahead of us. We never go into any situation alone. And when we arrive at the well thirsty, Jesus is already there waiting for us. The second point: Jesus knows. Verses 17 and 18. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband." Jesus knows us inside out and through and through. He knows what we are able to share with our neighbor this morning or share during prayer ministry. He also knows the things that are known only to God. There are most definitely many things that we do not know about each other. And I thought we could look at a few examples and see how well we know our church family. I will share a fact or two about this person, and you could have a go at guessing who it could be. He worked on a market stall in Covent Garden. Open to you if anyone wants to guess. No? He's sitting here with us. He worked on a market stall in Covent Garden. Go on.
Jeff.
Not Jeff. Ike, did you say something?
Jeff.
Not Jeff.
John.
Andrew it is. He worked on a magic stall at Covent Garden. Now, the next person who I've got lined up isn't here today. So that may be another test. Who's not here today? She called me up at 6 o'clock last evening and said she couldn't be in church. She was born in Hackney, and she isn't here this morning because her daughter's getting baptized in another church. So let's see how well you can guess who's not here today. It is Zoe. He is one of 11 children. Became part of a religious order when he was in secondary school, and later served as a missionary in Africa for 13 years. Who? Yes, who is it? It is Jonas. Oh, Mary knows you well. I guess the fact that Jonas didn't want me to share with you today is that I can sometimes be the thorn in his flesh. The third point: Jesus offers an alternative. Verse 13. Jesus answered, Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. How often have we struggled to fill that vacuum, address the thorn in our flesh, in our own finite strength, and fallen short? Where else do you and I turn? Our human wisdom and efforts are likely to placate our needs, our worries, our desires, only temporarily. And we thirst again. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, the Lord says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." Many spiritual functions parallel bodily functions. As our bodies hunger and thirst, so do our souls. We're not likely to deprive our bodies of food and water. So why then should we deprive our souls? Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." A couple of Sundays ago, Andrew led us in discussion about spiritual disciplines during Lent. Reading the Word of God, spending time with him in prayer, 40 acts of kindness, and so on. Whatever you have taken on or given up this Lent, let's commit to using these disciplines as a means of allowing Jesus to work within us. And my final point. Jesus works against the odds. Verse 11. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Anyone like me here today? Have you ever found yourself questioning how God could possibly intervene in your situation or help you to overcome the thorn in your flesh? That physical health condition, that paralyzing depression or anxiety that you grapple with on a daily basis, a broken heart from a close friendship gone sour, or a fragile marriage relationship? I'm reminded of the words of that song. There is no problem too big, God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall, he cannot move. There is no question too tough, he cannot answer. There is no sorrow too deep, he cannot soothe. If he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my brother, that he will carry you. I know, my sister, that he will carry you." What is the thorn in your flesh that you are struggling with today? Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest." Like the Samaritan woman, we may ask, could this be the Christ? Jesus says, "I, the one speaking to you, am he." And Jesus promises us in John chapter 7, verse 38, "Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Amen. So as Matt plays some music for us in the background, let's respond to this Jesus, who is the lover of our souls. He knows. He's here to offer us an alternative and work against the odds that face us. We've been handed out some A6 sheets of paper along with our service bulletins today. I'd like to urge you to write down something that you would consider to be the thorn in your flesh. Let's bring it to Jesus and lay it on his altar. The thing that holds you back and weighs you down. We can do this symbolically by bringing it forward and putting it through one of the shredders up here in front. Let's entrust it to Jesus and let him have his way.